Hi, Katie. Good to see you. It's been longer than we would have liked between now and last time. And yeah, I know that you've been feeling a bit shut down. Should we just start there in terms of, yeah, how you've been doing and how you've been feeling?
So I can't actually remember when the last time we did speak was.
Last time we spoke, you were reading to me the letter you'd written to your parents, and you'd had a letter back, and there was sort of the process. It was a while ago. Yeah.
Was it January or February?
No, it was February.
February. Yeah.
It was sort of mid February time.
I think, you know, I just sort of started to open up, to feel confident enough to kind of explore going back into those relationships. And what I've found is that my feelings were very much on the surface with everything. I felt that I was allowing myself to be a bit more vulnerable because I felt a bit stronger inside and to deal with it. I think not having that kind of regular sort of check-in and to be honest, you know, I'd stopped doing the work as well, because that's how I react to these things. I stopped doing the kind of meditation and the exercising, and my eating has just gone a bit crazier. And it's because I'm sort of, I have been having some therapy sessions with my husband as well, which has been interesting.
Interesting. But I just kind of, interesting is always a complicated word.
I know.
You say a bit more about how
it's been really good. It's been really good on one hand. Okay. It's been, you know, we're in a situation now where we're still apart, but we're on pretty good terms. And, you know, the door isn't completely closed as it was on us trying to resolve things. It's not completely open either, from my point of view. And it's a very kind of slow process to try and there are still some real sticking points, you know, that I don't know how we're going to get over. But
how do you feel about the fact that there's an opening where it was closed before? Does that,
well, I think that's why I'm so low, because I'm just so confused. I've been so used to in my life just knowing, being on this kind of, and it's not good, because I've been so driven. I know where I'm going, I know where I'm aiming, and I'll do what I have to do to get there.
Yes.
And now I don't really have, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know where I'm aiming for. And
well, I think one of the things that you do is you feel a sense of safety by the illusion of control. So when you feel like you're in control of things, even when it's often an illusion, but when you have that sense of, right, this is where I am, this is where I'm going, this is the path that I'm going to take to get there, there's something that's quite comforting about that sense of
safety. Yeah.
And the problem is, when we approach life in that way, we're not necessarily going in the right direction. So we can have the sense of control and the sense of sort of empowerment, but actually we may be forcing our life down the path, which is actually not, because often the path we're choosing is the one that's chosen from our history of our issues that are often unresolved. So where you are now, in a place of less certainty, less control, more of a sense of perhaps feeling a bit shaky and quite vulnerable, I would say is a step forward, but it probably doesn't feel like that to you right now.
No, I was kind of pleased with the uncertainty when I felt safe, but I think I just don't feel safe now. I just think I've gone into that kind of way of thinking that nothing ever works out for me. I mean, even small things, like I had the AstraZeneca vaccine, and then obviously all this stuff has come up about the AstraZeneca, you know, the blood clots. And then the big thing that's happened this week, which I ought to mention, is that I went for a role at my current job, which I didn't get. And I realized that I'd kind of reached the end of the road there. You know, I wasn't kind of making much progress, and I wanted, so I was thinking about, you know, looking, as lockdown lifts, looking for something else. Anyway, this opportunity presented itself to me. And they approached me and said that they had this job they thought I'd be quite suited to, and that they'd shortlisted me for it. Anyway, I interviewed and I got the job. And
congratulations. Wow.
Oh, yeah, but I accepted the job. On the same day I accepted the job, I got an email saying that one of the campaigns that I ran last year had been nominated for an award.
Wow.
And I phoned my husband, And he said, "That's amazing. That's amazing." And I couldn't have been, I was so low. I was crying. Hmm. And I couldn't understand why I was so, I was just like, and it was all because my head went. And I just thought,
Well, I think it's a sign.
What's my motivation? Why am I doing this? You know, I'm it's all about seeking validation to prove to the world that I'm good enough to. And actually, it's a big load of shit, you know, because I'm not. I'm really none of those things. And
it's a sign of the state that your system was already in, right? So you were already in a state of a kind of depressive perspective and a state of feeling fed up and frustrated. And then in that state, someone can say you won the lottery, and we say, "Have I got to go and collect the money?"
Yeah,
you know, it's like it. They're just, the state we're in has such an effect on everything else that our wildest dreams can come true and we don't feel anything because we feel numb. And so we need to take a step back and understand, why were you in that state in the first place? And that tracks back a little bit to, we had a longer gap than we would have liked to have between our sessions. There's also, it sounds like there was some overwhelming. What also can happen, I think, as well, is you've done some really great work about opening up. But often what happens is we open up and there's a point where it actually feels incredibly vulnerable. And I think that's part of where you were last time.
Yeah.
There's a sort of inevitable ebbing and flowing where we open up, and then almost as a way of protecting ourselves, we close back down again. We don't often close back as far as we have historically. And that opening up isn't lost. And it doesn't mean that we can't then open up again, perhaps a bit more easily, because we've gone into that new territory. But it's not uncommon to have a contraction after that expansion. So if we track back to sort of around last time we spoke, and you were in a really good place, and you were sort of, you were on the path, you were sort of feeling a sense of, it wasn't easy, but you were feeling a sense of sort of commitment and progress. And there were still some bumps, you know, some big bumps along the way, but there was a holding that you had in place. How did that fall away? Can we kind of break that down a little bit?
I get stagnant, you know, I get this kind of feeling. This is a really familiar feeling where, and I've got this at the moment, I've had it for weeks. I wake up in the morning and I think, not again. No, that's how I feel. I just think, what's the point? What's the point of all this? I'm just really bored. I've got no purpose. I feel irritable and angry. I feel hard done by. What's the point? And then I've got no energy. I've got no motivation. I'm sitting in work doing the bare minimum.
But I think that, because that isn't how you were feeling last time we spoke, right? So for me, that is a few steps beyond something else that happens. And I think that something else that happens is something along the lines of, I can't do this, or it's not working, or I can't be bothered, or, you know, what's the point? And it's, you know, it's that sort of, if you remember, we talked about get into jail free cards.
Yeah.
It's sort of that there's some sort of kind of fuck it pattern that comes in.
Yeah.
Sort of self-sabotage pattern. Like, I just can't be, I just, what's the point? I can't be bothered. And then that's the sort of jettisoning of all the things that you've been doing, which actually have been the foundations and the support of the progress. And that stuff is quite hard work. So when your motivation starts to erode, that's when that sort of whole thing starts to disintegrate.
Yeah. I just think I've got this kind of idea that I can never sustain anything. I start things and then, you know. And I think actually what's happening in my head now when I'm talking to you is that I know that this kind of re-establishing these relationships with my family of origin are definitely triggers.
Yes.
On my birthday, for example, I got a real resentment. That was the beginning of it, I think, actually thinking back, that my mum, you know, phoned. My dad didn't even bother to come to the phone to say happy birthday, which he never would anyway. And then the next day it was his birthday and I was like, fuck it, I'm not even going to send him a message. You know, and it got into this, I'm not sending him a message then. And I did. I did.
It's
I
almost
did
like the more hurt you feel, the more, I think what happens is the more hurt that you feel, the more you push away the world.
Yeah.
So it's not just them that you push away. You push them away, but you also push, I think, everything
it's
else
true.
Away.
I do, because
the places
then I stop
that
doing.
You would go for emotional holding, for psychological clarity, you stop doing the practices which are the foundation for, because it's not that the daily meditation, the daily walks and those things are necessarily the source of all the change, but they're the things that get you in the state, get you in the place from which you can then do the other things which are creating the change.
I just wanted to pause the session for a moment just to really reinforce a point. If our mental and emotional state is constantly being shaped by conversations with family members, by events in the news, by things that are happening around us, we find ourselves the victim of our lives. Learning how our states are impacted, learning tools and strategies to stay connected to ourselves, to stay grounded in our body, gives us a whole new level of freedom in our lives. Okay, back to the episode.
If you can, over the coming few weeks, proactively get yourself back into a different place, that's not just about you getting back on track in the next few weeks. That's about showing yourself that you are ultimately not at the mercy of this, but actually you have a capacity to do something to change it. This, you know, it's incredibly empowering to know that when you're in a bad place, actually you're not the victim, that you can, doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad few days or week or two, it just feels hopeless, but there's a certain point where you're able to go, I'm going to do something to change this. So I guess one of my questions is, what does the coming sort of few weeks look like in terms of external stuff? Like, do you have...
I'm going to be starting this new job, which is...
When do you start?
May the 10th.
Okay, so you've got 3 weeks or so until then.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect window of time for the next three weeks for you to really commit to you.
Yeah.
What could Katie committing to Katie look like?
I do have, you know, my first reaction is I haven't got time. But I do, because, you know, I've got lunch times, I've got evenings.
But also, Katie, if we look at the cost of you being in a depressive, fed up, frustrated, hopeless mindset, that is eroding and erasing so much of your energy. Right? So you finding that, making the time, is going to pay you back multiple times over in terms of your growth and capacity.
Why am I so, like, it's 1 + 1 = 2, but I always come up with 5.
Well, let me let you know the secret. It's called being a human being.
and I
can guarantee you that of the people that are watching this, the vast majority are going, oh my God, this is exactly what I do as well. So please don't feel that you're alone in this happening. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm also speaking to many other people, because we all can do this in our own way, right? So this is not about judging yourself or beating yourself up or criticizing yourself. It's about going, Alex is hopefully right. This is what I do. This is what I've done for years. I've trained myself to do this, but I've changed other things in my life. And if I train myself to do something different, this can also change.
Yeah.
What could you put in place as a daily practice? So we've meditation, we know, some sort of movement, we know. I think going back to the beginning of the reset program and starting at module one and doing a module a day for 4 or 5, up to module 5, I think would be helpful, or module every other day. I just think really recommitting to and reinforcing those principles and those ideas, I think would be really helpful. I think the stop process in module 4 and getting some sense of reclaiming your mind a little bit, because I think your mind is getting very used to spinning off and getting caught in all of these different places, and just bringing yourself back to your body, bringing yourself back to the moment, will just help all of this start to calm and settle, which I think is really important right now.
Yeah. I think the other thing that I should mention is that I just feel like I used to get really excited about, and this is like been sort of over the last few years, really, about, you know, going out, like we've booked a table in a pub on Friday to go out for a meal, you know, that's how I feel like
again, Katie, without wanting to you to feel like I'm an old record that keeps banging around the back of the head,
it's the state
that you're in, right?
Yeah,
you're in a state of overwhelm, you're in a state of feeling fed up and feeling hopeless. And in that state, as I said, you could be told you've won 100 million on the lottery, and the response would be, do I have to get up and go and get the tip going?
Yeah.
Right. It's a symptom of the state. If we change the state, everything starts to look and feel different.
Yeah. It's the first time I've cried actually for a while.
Hmm. What are the tears for?
It's just exhaustion and just a sadness that I can't enjoy my life. It's like everybody else seems to be able to. And I think there's some anger there. Yeah, and I don't know. I just feel like sometimes I'm just, like you said, got it. I'm just not seen or heard. And I feel like I try so hard. But I'm just not like every other people, I just find life very challenging.
But I think a lot of people, part of the reason why I think people really connect to watching these episodes is most people find life challenging. The problem is people don't talk about the fact they find life challenging. So we're left with the illusion thinking we're the only one that finds life challenging.
I mean, I was just looking at myself now. I knew I had this appointment, so I had a shower at 3. I didn't get dressed until then. That's where I'm at the moment.
Yeah.
I can't even be bothered to get out of my bed and get dressed.
Do you, based upon what we've talked about so far, do you feel that you're able to start committing to these practices again?
Yes, I'm going to definitely commit to it. I'm trying my best.
Okay.
And that's the thing. That's the hardest bit, is when I'm so in this hole, just pulling myself up. And once I start, I'll be fine. But it's just that hole.
And focus on progress, not perfection, right? It's not about getting it perfectly right every minute of every day. It's about having the sense of progressing and moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions before we finish?
No, I don't think so.
Good, Katie. I will. That was perfect timing because the battery just died on my camera. I left the charger in London. So it's really nice to be in touch again. And once again, my apologies for the amount of time in between. Confident we can have regular support from here.
Oh.
Hello. So you've got your plan.
Yes.
And we'll speak again in 2 weeks. Good to see you. Take care. Bye.
Bye.